got a spring or an itch. Pain that's swelling.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
For the first time, a case of what has been called Havana Syndrome has been reported near the White House. Now, these mysterious symptoms were first reported in Cuba, that's where it gets its name, of course, in 2016, when American officials reported headaches and other issues with no known cause.
Reports tell us of a single episode that occurred in 2019 against a White House official in a Virginia suburb of Washington, D.C. A more recent potential attack happened in November 2020 and took place near the White House.
So why am I telling you something that was first recognized or seen over 4 years ago? Well, just keep listening to the show, and I'll get to the medical aspect of this in a few moments. But first, just a little background. A preliminary report found that certain U.S. government personnel in Havana, Cuba, experienced what was described as persistent mental, inner ear, and eye movement dysfunction, accompanied by sleep disruption and headaches.
Those suffering this often stated that they heard directional, audible, and sensory phenomena of unclear origin. Interesting.
It was thought that these affected individuals seemed to have suffered injury to widespread brain networks without an associated history of any head trauma. So the first thought was, if Havana syndrome is a psychological condition or just a form of psychogenic illness, with the term psychogenic illness meaning physical disorders which arise from emotional or mental stressors and likely originating from some sort of psychological or psychiatric disorder.
So let's look back in history to a time when the radio was just invented. Many people then believed that the invisible waves of the radio were making them sick.
Yes, and now we just think that it is the people on the radio that make us sick, huh? Ha, just a joke there. But that was certainly not the only time in history when similar thoughts were voiced. For example, when computer terminals became widespread during the 1980s, some people were convinced that they were causing birth defects and miscarriages.
Even more recently, there have been fears that mobile phones, microwave ovens, and Wi-Fi would cause an increased incidence of brain tumors.
Luckily, this has not been borne out in time. In other words, over a long length of time, the increase in brain tumors has not increased. Nevertheless, psychogenic pain is considered real. One expert, in fact, says that psychogenic pain is a condition in which someone's pain experience just doesn't match their physical symptoms.
The treatment may actually include cognitive behavioral therapy, certain antidepressants, as well as non-narcotic painkillers, just like most chronic pain does.
And psychogenic illness can cause actual physical problems that can be detected medically. But over time, there have been too many confirmed cases to be just psychological. And Dr. Darius Kohan, director of otology and neurotology at Lenox Hill Hospital and Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Nose Throat Hospital in New York, is convinced that mass psychogenic illness is highly unlikely in these cases.
For one thing, Dr. Kohan noted that this has not only been going on for a prolonged time, but in multiple places throughout the world.
Dr. Cohen feels that the most likely cause is something that is being projected towards U.S. facilities worldwide. He continued by stating that it was strange that it does not seem to be occurring in friendlier countries.
He also doesn't think an infectious disease is causing Havana syndrome. One reason, he says, in the fact that it just would not be reasonable to believe that there is an infectious disease that only affects government employees.
What a bioweapon that would be. Nevertheless, directed sound can cause injury, so a directed sonic device could be a powerful weapon. To prove this, here's a little bit of trivia that really is maybe not so trivial. About 10 years ago, one of the cruise ships was attacked by pirates on the Somalia coast. Now, they had very loud projectors on board ship, and they proceeded to project them like a cannon towards the pirates, and they basically protected the ship.
There is also a surgical tool. See, here is where we get into the medical value of this information, called a harmonic scalpel, which vibrates sound so quickly that it can cut through tissue.
And remember from our show 2 weeks ago when we talked about the controversy concerning the frequency or beats per second of the A note and how many natural phenomena and objects have their own natural frequency of vibration?
Have you heard of opera singers in the past breaking crystal wine glasses with their voices?
Well, go on the internet if you want to see regular people doing it, but let's listen to an example of this. I have a clip of a girl singing a note and shattering a glass as she increases the volume at just the right pitch of the wine glass. Let's hear that again.
Anyway, the harmonic scalpel is real and may actually be superior to electrosurgery in that it can cut through thicker tissue, creates less toxic surgical smoke, and poses somewhat less of a risk for electrocution or other potentially fatal complications.
It cuts using vibration in the range of about 55,500 hertz. The high-frequency vibration of tissue molecules generates stress and friction in the tissue, and that generates heat and causes protein denaturation.
This is great because the technique causes minimal energy transfer to a surrounding tissue, and thus there is potentially limited collateral damage.
One brand is manufactured in Mexico and distributed by Ethicon Endosurgery, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. Now, how about ultrasonic aspirators? Its waves are so powerful that they can liquefy a tumor, which can then be sucked out like a fluid. But they have to be used in expert hands, as they can cause a lot of damage. And do not think that this is that far-fetched, as there was recently an article on the ultrasonic aspirator's growth market to be worth $1.81 billion by the year 2027.
Every day, most of us have occasion to use microwaves for cooking, but they can potentially be used to cause great harm.
Just think of it. If you have any device that can project and focus microwaves, or any other sound wave technology for that matter, that's very damaging toward a target, and it can cause a lot of disruption of the target. One scientist that, in his opinion, said there is something going on in those people manifesting the symptoms of Havana syndrome. And again, in his opinion, the only thing that they can come up with is some sort of external beamed radiation.
Not long ago, our own Senator Marco Rubio, who is the Vice Chairman of the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and Chairman Mark Warner recently released a joint statement about the committee's investigation of suspected direct energy attacks against U.S. government personnel.
Senator Rubio led credence to this concern when he said that for nearly 5 years, we have been aware of reports of mysterious attacks on United States government personnel in Havana, Cuba, and around the world. Both Rubio and Warner continued and stated that this pattern of attacking our fellow citizens serving our government appears to be increasing. They ended their warning by saying that the Senate Intelligence Committee intends to get to the bottom of this.
Although theorized by some researchers to be a psychological issue, mounting evidence points to a directed energy weapon as the most likely cause.
More than 30 Americans and Canadians in Cuba have reported brain injuries that may be the result of an attack with an unknown device. Recently, another Canadian diplomat stationed in Cuba reported a mysterious concussion-like illness. Now, this brings to 13 the total number of Canadian diplomats or family members affected by unusual health symptoms.
More than 20 American diplomats and dependents have also been affected over the past 2 years.
One American government official, though, reported falling ill while in Gansu, China. The cause of the illness, well, it's just not clear. But the CBC reports that both the U.S. and Canadian governments believe that diplomats were attacked, again, by unknown technology.
Doctors at the universities in the U.S. and Canada continue to investigate these cases in an attempt to determine what's behind the symptoms and how best to treat the people affected.
Sufferers from Havana syndrome often reported hearing sounds that included buzzing, grinding metal, piercing squeals, as well as humming. For some, the sounds were associated with a feeling of pressure or vibration, like air baffling inside a moving car with the windows partially rolled down.
People even describe the sounds and sensations as appearing to come from a distinct direction.
They were also localized because when people changed locations, the sensation disappeared and the associated symptoms were reduced. Almost all of the people reported the immediate onset of neurological symptoms such as feeling disoriented or agitated with nausea and dizziness. And some people have also experienced ongoing symptoms. Remember, that's ongoing symptoms, including memory problems, difficulty thinking or focusing, as well as irritability and nervousness.
The researchers that authored the Journal of the American Medical Association paper described the symptoms as similar to a mild traumatic brain injury or concussion without any signs of physical trauma.
Recently in March, computer science and engineering researchers at the University of Michigan proposed that a poorly engineered ultrasonic transmitter used to eavesdrop could potentially create the sounds heard by the people affected. However, as we stated earlier, some experts think that the most likely explanation, given the sounds and symptoms, is exposure to radio frequency or microwave radiation.
Dr. Beatrice Gallo, a professor of medicine at the University of California, said the sounds fit with what is known as the microwave auditory effect, in which microwaves interact with the head to cause people to hear sounds.
Other characteristics of the sounds also point to this explanation, such as the localization of the sounds, the sound not decreasing when people covered their ears, and other people in the immediate vicinity not hearing any noise. And Dr. Douglas H. Smith, lead author of the JAMA study, told the New York Times in September that microwaves are now considered the main suspect.
His team also thinks that people affected have suffered brain injury. Right now, additional brain imaging is being done to determine the extent of the injuries.
The dilemma here is that, as CBS reports, the U.S. and Canadian governments believe that these cases are the result of deliberate and targeted attacks. Potential suspects include other governments or individuals with backing from those governments. Gollum said that they may not necessarily be attacks meant to harm people, but could be a byproduct of a surveillance device. This type of surveillance was suspected in the microwaving of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow during the 1960s and 70s. And I do remember that in the news.
The U.S. and Canadian governments continue to investigate these incidents. Finding the cause of the illnesses could help prevent future attacks and may help doctors treat those who are affected.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. Hello, I'm Dr. Harold Lasky. I have been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 34 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard. just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Tulsa Welding School and the old Pottsburg Post Office. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains.
We are proud to welcome to Southside Medical Center Dr. Susan Pollan, MD, a board-certified pain specialist.
Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show.
For another subject, have you ever heard of Disease X? I had to leave a little pause there so you hear that. That's Disease X. Well, the World Health Organization, or the WHO, is preparing to fight the mysterious Disease X, a potential source of the next international epidemic. Now, why is it called Disease X? Well, that's because it does not yet exist in humans. The organization actually included Disease X along with 7 other diseases in its 2018 R&D blueprint.
That blueprint is a guideline for identifying pathological threats that represent future epidemic risk, as well as major blind spots for treatment and vaccination.
Now, some of these diseases you've probably heard of, like Zika and Ebola. But have you heard of Rift Valley fever or Lassa fever? And there are other diseases included in the list, such as Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. How about Middle East respiratory syndrome coronavirus? Yeah, you heard right, coronavirus. Nipah virus and severe acute respiratory syndrome, which many of us know as SARS.
For many of these potential pandemics, little, if any, research is now being done. The task for scientists fighting against disease X is basically to prepare for the unknown.
So the WHO has been developing a way to determine which diseases represent a potentially perfect storm of epidemic potential and absolute lack of effective treatment. Now that list is being prepared, but a longer list includes well-studied diseases such as the plague and cholera.
So how do you prioritize where to put your money into research? The WHO includes many factors, including human transmissibility, fatality rate, difficulty of detection, and the potential scope of an outbreak to determine what studies and research are best to be done.
At first glance, the WHO blueprint seems to be lacking some diseases with a known serious potential to endanger human life on a global scale. A lot of antimicrobial resistant strains of bacteria are an impending threat to global health, but they are nowhere near being found on this year's blueprint. And why? Well, that's because of what the purpose of the blueprint has been made out to be, and that is to focus on diseases that have epidemic potential and for which we have nothing, no drugs, no vaccines, and no research pipeline.
The WHO also lists HIV, malaria, tuberculosis, smallpox, and cholera as non-dangerous pathogens, but which do not fit within their criteria for the blueprint because of existing funding and infrastructure already dedicated to them.
Disease X represents an area of study where not only could we have no real understanding of it, but zero research and development infrastructure either. However, the WHO, that's what I call them, the WHO, has ways of preparing for such an event. At least they say they do. While we may not know the specifics of Disease X, we almost certainly know something about where it will come from. Now, they're going to utilize expertise in virology, bacteriology, and the study of fungus to create a framework to deal with a potential threat based on the wealth of knowledge already available about these pathogens.
The WHO will also group diseases based on similarity so that they can maximize the capacity for cross-cutting research that can be more broadly applicable. rather than to just one specific disease or strain.
Zika, yellow fever, and West Nile virus are all, for example, part of a class of viruses known as flaviviruses, so they will try to better understand the group as a whole.
One of the stipulations, if a patient wishes to have access to smokable marijuana, is that the patient must return to see the physician in person.
That's right. If you have been receiving any forms of medical marijuana and wish to have smokable added to your list of forms of medical marijuana that your doctor can recommend, then you just have to come see the physician in person.
There are also limitations for receiving the marijuana based on age. They cannot be recommended to anyone under the age of 18 unless they are terminal and have a pediatrician who agrees with smokable whole flower marijuana as an effective treatment.
The amount of what they call flower a patient can buy every 35 days is 2.5 ounces, and that is limited by Florida statute. And the patient must understand that the total amount of flower or bud a qualified patient can possess at any one time is limited to 4 ounces.
Getting back to the edibles, they come in various forms such as baked goods, candy, chocolate drink powders, as well as other forms.
What has been ordered by the authorities is that in order to minimize attraction to children, edibles in Florida cannot be produced in primary or bright colors or be produced in any shapes other than simple geometric shapes, such as a square, circle, rectangle, and I guess even a triangle.
There are lots of other stipulations, but most of these, again, relate to how they are produced.
And as we said, manufacturers must obtain a food preparation permit. Due to COVID-19, an emergency order went into effect allowing Florida medical marijuana patients to complete their follow-up doctor visits using telemedicine. In other words, virtual visits.
Patients can be recertified for another 7 months without having to leave home. However, the first visit must still be made in the presence of the certifying physician.
Now, for new patients that just don't want to go to the doctor's office unless they have to, some doctors are offering what we might call a three-step process. Again, this is for new patients. Once your physician has determined that you qualify to receive the medical marijuana recommendation, he or she will enter all the pertinent information on the OMMU site.
OMMU stands for Office of Medical Marijuana Use. They will then contact you by email so that you can remit the $75 application fee to the state.
It's interesting that the state of Florida created a state-regulated medical marijuana market, which includes a system of what is called vertically integrated cannabis companies. Now, what this means is that the companies that produce the marijuana are also the only ones that can be licensed to transport and sell any of the cannabis products.
Remember that it was on March 18th, 2019, the governor, Ron DeSantis, signed smokable marijuana in Florida into law.
For those of you who are receiving medical marijuana, it's still important for you to know that Amendment 2 did not change Florida's drug possession laws. The possession of 20 grams of weed or less is still a misdemeanor, which is punishable by a maximum sentence of 1 year imprisonment and a maximum fine of $1,000.
And possession of more than 20 grams of it is a felony, punishable by a maximum sentence of 5 years imprisonment and a maximum fine of $5,000.
And sale or illegal delivery of marijuana is a felony. It is punishable by a maximum sentence of 15 years imprisonment and a maximum fine of $10,000. Now, on next week's show, we hope to talk about the power of attorney and guardianships, including the differences and when they are recommended and when they are necessary.
We will also delve into sun protection now that the summer is almost upon us here in sunny Florida and how to best protect yourself and your family.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. We've come to the end of another Hey Doc show.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.